Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. Hour number three on a Taco Tuesday. So, yeah, indeed. And I'm in dipper number two in hour number three. So, I'm doing this one on Trump World, and I introduced it just earlier to talk about the fact that President Trump has not just come on board to make America great again by isolating us, by basically build the wall and don't talk to anybody. No, he's making America great again on the world stage. He knows that this is like, you know, if you're the biggest country in the world with the largest GDP and the greatest manufacturing base and the most natural resources and the greatest people in the world, you know what? Maybe you've got influence on the world stage and it's time to use it. And it's exactly what he's doing. Well, it was announced yesterday that Trump went to Scotland. And I remember hearing he was going to Scotland and playing some golf. A little more than that. He went to Scotland and he wound up announcing while he was there in a joint press conference with Ursula von der Leyen, who is the head of the European Union. He announced that we are just entering into the framework for perhaps the largest trade deal in the history of the United States. The European Union is going to basically give us unprecedented levels of market access. They're leveling the tariffs. Now, remember at one point Trump said 30%. Everybody's like, oh my God, 30%. And then he said, you know what? If you're not going to negotiate, it's 50%. Well, guess what? First thing they did, the EU has agreed to an across-the-board 15% tariff rate. 15. That's still a win for us. We've actually made like a $54 billion profit on tariffs so far. The economy is responding well to tariffs.
I think it's a lot more than that.
Is it more than $54
billion? They released a number today. It was over $100 billion total so far in tariff revenue. Yeah.
Well, blow me
down.
I
think June was a record for tariff revenue. I can look up the exact number.
Yeah, see if you can find it, man. I'd like to hear that I'm wrong on that. That's great.
It says that in June, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent has said that he thinks we can collect up to $300 billion this year. Trying to find the number of so far. $150 billion.
$150 billion so far this year.
Since implementing the policy, we have gotten $150 billion in tariffs.
Oof.
And it says in July alone, the United States hit a new milestone with $28 billion collected. So $28 billion collected just in July.
Woof. Okay. Wow. And July's not even over.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wow. Okay. I stand corrected gleefully. How about that? Here's what else, though. That 15% tariff with the European Union, keep in mind, that's the European Union. We already had the very first trade deal that was signed was with Great Britain, and that was a couple of months ago. I mean, right out the gate. Excited to do it. Great Britain, long-time ally. So Great Britain was already in place. Remember, Great Britain actually, they had Brexit, so they separated from the EU. So it's a separate trade deal with Great Britain. Now we have the EU. That's all of Europe. So the European Union has now entered into a trade deal, 15% tariff rate, but it's so much bigger than that. This is not about averting a trade war. This is about like engineering the largest investment in modern history. This is an epic moment where the European Union is actually agreeing, some say, to upwards of $1.4 trillion over the next 3 years of investment by EU countries into the United States. Good Lord. $750 billion of that is in American energy. They're going to start buying our oil, buying our gas. $600 billion in additional U.S. investments. I mean, these are like staggering numbers, y'all. This is huge. This is a big, big deal. But it's also way higher than anything we've ever seen before. And the strategic value of this is part of the masterstroke. It's part of the statesmanship, if you will. Because they went ahead and they also exempted certain sectors of this from tariffs. Aircraft and components, semiconductors, critical chemicals, and some agricultural products. And these are not random selections. What they did was they picked key supply chains and they gave them an opportunity to grow and to flourish tariff-free. This is, I mean, we got a guaranteed customer for American energy exports. We got like a massive European event. This comes on the heels, by the way, of just recently he did a massive trade deal with Japan. We thought Japan was big. Japan was like $550 billion in investment. Now look at this. All I'm saying is we are watching right now. Trump world is really something to behold.
Can I just say, too, yeah. I think this was a great tactic on his end. It was genius. He's in their countries, and yet he's still hosting them. Did you notice that? Somebody pointed out. So he goes to Scotland, and instead of going to, you know, Scotland's, you know, buildings or whatever, he had them come to his property. So he's a key, that is such a power move. I'm going to go to your country, and I'm going to host you. Like that. That, I don't know, it may seem little.
And by the way, I'm going to play some golf.
Yeah, and I'm going to play some golf too. That may seem, you know, little, but I think stuff like that shows how he's been so successful in not only the private sector, but it's just, I don't know. It's, yeah, I'll go to your country, you come to me, and I'll host you.
Wow, that's I hadn't thought of that. That's very cool. So the Trump juggernaut, I got a piece here from the Daily Caller, says the Trump juggernaut is steamrolling the naysayers who had spent months predicting his failure. Yes. I mean, how many times were we hearing on the liberal left-leaning media that, oh, this is going to cause a recession. Oh, it's going to be horrible. You're going to watch, like, prices go through the roof. We're not going to be able to afford milk and bread, and eggs are going to be back again. Nope. We are looking at what one ambassador told the Financial Times was a clear Trump juggernaut that steamrolled the EU, but it worked out exactly where our pain threshold is. And, oh, by the way, the naysayers now are having no choice but to go, yeah, it's working. They don't want to, but they are. The New York Times published a piece 7 days before the new trade deal was even announced, claiming that Trump's tariff threats were bolstering the EU's public trust, helping the bloc to make new friends. In other words, he's pushing them away from us. It's going to be bad. No, it didn't actually work out like the way. Ursula von der Leyen sat there and shook hands and looked very respectful and nice. They had a great talk. Trump was very complimentary. And then, oh, by the way, they got a trade deal. And we came out smelling like a rose, baby. Smelling like a rose. But then you got the New York Times talking about President Trump's pledge to make America great again appears to be having an unexpected side effect, bringing Europeans together again. Yeah, to deal with us. How you like it now? It went on to say, Europe is getting fed up with Donald Trump's trade threats. Apparently it worked. These people, I tell you what, man, they can't get out of their own way. French member of parliament, president of the National Rally Party, Marine Le Pen, referred to it all as a stinging failure by the EU. We have caved to Trump. I used to like Marine Le Pen, but she's apparently mad because, I don't know, Trump got a deal. Here's the thing. Liz Peek did a piece on Fox News. And she says it right here. She said, Trump's major trade wins could be rocket fuel to U.S. economy. Rocket fuel to the U.S. And I hope so. I really do. Says the initial rollout of his tariff program in April was rather clumsy. The subsequent negotiation of trade deals, though, has been masterful. Much remains to be fully fleshed out for agreements that concluded in weeks as opposed to the more customary years. Oh, yeah, by the way, keep that in mind. How long has Trump been back in office? 5 months. 5.5. He has accomplished more in the trade deal environment, in international trade. His administration has accomplished more in 5 months than Biden even thought about doing in the 4 years he was there. Okay, let me rephrase that. I'm not sure Biden thought about doing much of anything, but his people thought about doing.
More than the auto pen thought about doing.
The auto pen was thinking hard, mm-hmm. And it couldn't even come up with this stuff. All that to say, the United States is the world's biggest economy at $29 trillion. China and the EU come next at roughly $19 trillion. The U.S. leads in sheer size and also in the magnitude of our consumer market. At 70% of GDP, or $20 trillion. By comparison, Chinese consumer accounts for only 40% of that country's GDP. So what that's saying is we are a consumer environment. We are willing and ready to also, oh, by the way, use our wealth on the world stage. Every country on earth, says Liz Peek, wants to export to the U.S. Consequently, our country has clout, and the president is determined to use it. He's removing tariffs that other countries have imposed on American-made goods coming into their countries. He's also fighting non-tariff barriers, such as illegal government subsidies, currency manipulation, arcane regulations. He's doing all these things, and it's like the libs are standing by going, can't keep up. By the way, it had to kill. So CNN said this. Townhall.com, Dateline 2 days ago. No, Dateline yesterday. President Trump flew to Scotland for a multi-day trip, played some golf, emerged with a significant trade deal. And they're not happy about it. But the CNN guy, he said there's no hiding the fact the EU was... I'm sorry, this is the ambassador talking. The EU guy, the guy from CNN said he's been issuing many threats of terrorists, but they clearly have been working. Just probably had to just like cause him gut pain when he said it. Just serious gut pain. But Bill Maher, who, by the way, on the one hand irritates the crap out of me, but on the other side, I've developed a grudging respect for Bill Maher on HBO. I mean, the man's got a foul mouth, but he's an avowed liberal, but he has become what I would call a speaker of truth to power, even when the people are his own.
He's intellectually honest.
Thank you. That's good. He's intellectually honest. That's a great way of putting it. All right, you take the segment. But he did. He actually said the other day, I was along with other people saying at the beginning, oh, you know, by the 4th of July, the economy was going to be tanked. This is Bill Maher talking. He said, I was kind of like, well, that seems right to me, but it didn't happen. It could happen, but I'm just saying it's our reality. The truth is, he said, I don't know what his strategy, Trump, I don't know what his strategy is, but look, the stock market's at record highs. I know not everybody lives by the stock market, but I also drive around and I don't see a country in depression at all. I see people out there just living their lives, and I would have thought, you know, I got to own it, he says. The tariffs were going to sink the economy by this time, and they didn't. They're coming around. There's more on Trump World. Things are happening. I'll tell you about it after the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so wrapping up this segment on Trump World. It is indeed Trump World. So I loved the line. I just threw the story in the trash, but I know what it said. Basically, Trump went up to Scotland. He played some golf, came back with a trade agreement. While he was there, he also stopped a war. What? Okay. Well, so apparently... is it Cambodia and Thailand, I believe? Cambodia and Thailand? Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, Cambodia and Thailand were really escalating in conflict on the border to the point that there was serious concern on the international stage that Cambodia and Thailand were about to go to war. I don't know to what level. All I know is apparently Trump contacted the leaders of both countries and said, there will be no trade agreement with us whatsoever unless you stop fighting first. And they declared a ceasefire and stopped. Just like that. Listen, that's what happens when leadership exerts itself on the world stage for good. People look at it and go, oh, I'll respond to that. I mean, how cool is that? Here's another piece. I love this. You know, I get tired of it, too. I get tired of the kabuki. Oh, here it is. I had a story on it. I'm going to back up. I got a piece from Red State. Cambodia and Thailand agree to a ceasefire less than 24 hours after Trump says no deals until the fighting ends. There you go. So it's another Monday, meaning another Monday after another credible week of winning for President Donald Trump, says Red State. And Trump's latest win comes as a result of the president telling the prime ministers of Cambodia and Thailand he will not negotiate trade deals with either country unless they end their deadly border war. He said, this is on Truth Social. He said, trade talks are a no-go until such time as the fighting stops, all caps. And then on Sunday, he said in an interview, I called the prime minister of each one. I said, we're not going to make a trade deal. They should settle the war. A lot of people are being killed. He said, I think by the time I got off, they wanted to settle. He says, well, what do you know? The brief border war, one of the countless conflicts between the two countries over the last 500 years, ended when both sides agreed to an immediate and unconditional ceasefire less than 24 hours after Trump issued his threat. So, I mean, that's just nothing but, that's just classic Trump. You know, I don't think Biden could get something done in a week. Trump just gets things done by the minute. And I coined this phrase, and I haven't used it yet. I've been saving it for the right moment. Now it's time. You ready? The world right now is moving at the speed of Trump. That's where we are. The world right now is moving at the speed of Trump. You got Cambodia and Thailand. They're fighting one day. He gives them a call and says, no trade deal. Let's just stop fighting. 24 hours later, they stop. Meanwhile, at the same time, he's playing golf on his own golf course in Scotland and then pausing from that to meet with leaders from the European Union and signing a massive trade agreement. Oh, by the way, he just finished a massive trade agreement with Japan. Oh, by the way, he already signed one with Great Britain. Oh, by the way, we got one with Vietnam. Oh, by the way, there's more coming. Listen, the world right now is moving at the speed of Trump. And it's amazing to watch, y'all. Absolutely amazing to watch. One of the things he also did this past weekend was he gave Russia a new deadline. He said, you know, I gave you 50 days. I'm paraphrasing slightly. But he said, I gave 50 days for Putin to come to the table and do good faith negotiations. And he basically said, I don't think he's going to do it. He said, I gave him time to get to but I think I already know the answer of what's going to happen. So I'm not doing 50 days. He said, 10 or 12 days from now, if we don't see any progress being made, there's going to be severe tariffs on Russia. Listen, there are people who believe in analyzing Russia's position right now that they are in a tenuous position. And even Putin himself, his presidency is in a tenuous position. Massive sanctions on the Russian economy could wind up having a crippling effect on that nation. And I guarantee you right now, Putin's trying to figure out what he's going to do. Trying to figure out, can I get out of it? Can I bluff my way? Can I do something? Probably not. Trump said he's sick of it. Every time I talk to him, he's a nice guy. He's very respectful. We have a good conversation. The next day, people are dying. And he does not, by the way, Putin is not launching on military strikes on hardened military targets. He dropped a missile on a nursing home the other day. He dropped them on hospitals. He's bombing civilian centers. It's like war crime stuff. And then last thing, I'll tell you this. Apparently, France wants to recognize Palestine as a state. Trump just went ahead and said, Daily Wire has a story. We're boycotting the United Nations conference promoting the two-state solution. It's a publicity stunt. It's an insult. And we're not going. I see the two-state solution falling apart as we speak. What do you think?
If it ever was going to begin with.
If it ever was in the first place. That's right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Tons of text messages. I'll get them when we come back. Y'all stay tuned.